Okay, so good morning. We're continuing. Today's daf is daf lamed hey. Today's class should be for the refuah shlema of all the chalim. We'll be chladam, chemda, barachon, hachad, vishan, el mechad, mutam, rifkia. Sarban, wanir, shalom, sarah, dobin, mechad, rifkab, adem, rar, rifkab, adem, 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 rifkab, Okay, we are beginning. We left off on 34B, towards the middle of the page, about 10 lines down from the top. You know, today's Daf Lamed Hey, the third parak, is known to be a very difficult chapter in Masechet Ketubot, but today's Daf specifically is a much more difficult Daf than the rest of the Dafim we've had so far in the Masechet. It's a lot of nizakin, a lot of damages, a lot of stuff from Baba Kama, Baba Metziah. So we're going to see Mizad Hashem, we're going to jump into it, but there's a lot of interesting topics in today's daf, and if you don't understand, don't be afraid to ask any questions. Okay, we left off about 10 to 15 lines on the top of the page on 34B. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Hayita para ginuva lo. If a person had an animal that he stole, and then later on, v'tavecha b'shabbat, and then on Shabbat, he decided to slaughter it, chayav. He is liable to pay back the animal. So he says, pay back for the animal. Why? Shekvar nitchayev b'gneva kodem she'avo lidei isur Shabbat. Because he already became liable to stealing way before the violation of Shabbat came. Whereas, hayita parag she'ulalo, if let's say he was borrowing an animal, v'tavecha b'shabbat, and he slaughtered it on Shabbat, patur, he would be exempt from the paying back of the animal. Why? Because he holds, Rav Papa holds, that at the time, if you're borrowing, at the time you slaughter the animal, that's when it comes into fruition that you actually have to pay back the responsibility. So simultaneously, as you broke Shabbat, that was a simultaneous act that you actually had to repay for the animal. And so therefore, we only give you the stricter of the two punishments, would be liability for death of breaking Shabbat. Okay? Okay. Amar le ravacha bere de rava le ravashi. He said to ravashi. Le rav papa, para ata le shmuinan. Is rav papa coming to teach us a case of a para? Meaning, we had it yesterday, a case of a gedi. And we had the exact same case yesterday. So why is he coming and bringing this exact same case just in a case of a para? So the Gemara says, Amar le rav papa responded, sheula ata le shmuinan. No, I'm coming to teach you the law of an animal that is borrowed. I would have thought to say, Ho'il ve'amar Rav Papa, since Rav Papa says, Mishat Meshicha, hu deitchayev lei b'mezonot, that at the moment someone already pulls over the animal towards himself, now he becomes obligated in the support of the food aspect and giving to the animal. Right now he has to take the responsibility to feed the animal. So hachanameh, I would have thought as well, mishat she'ela, at the time of borrowing the animal, itchayev be'onsei, you'd be liable for anything that happens to the animal. You have responsibility over the whole animal no matter what happens from that moment that was already lended to you. Kamashmalan comes to Gemara to teach us that no, when do you actually take responsibility? At the moment if something does happen, that's when you're responsible for it. So simultaneously, as the animal is slaughtered, he takes responsibility from having to pay back. And so therefore, he receives two punishments at the same time. So we only give him the stricter punishment, which is breaking Shabbat. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hiniach lehen avien para she'ula. If let's say their father, he leaves to the children a borrowed animal. Okay, he borrowed it, he was lended this animal, and he left it over for the children. Mishtamshin ba kol yemei she'elata. They're allowed to use it all the days of the she'ela, meaning all the days that it is borrowed from the owner, they're allowed to continue using it. Meta, and if it dies, ein chayavin be'onsa. They are not required to pay back, they're not required to take care of its responsibility. If let's say something, a mishap befell it, something happened to it, they're not responsible. If they thought though, if they hold, kisvurin shel aviem hi, if they thought it was their father's, v'tevachu, and they slaughtered it, v'achalu, and they ate it, mishalmin demei basar bezol, and then they find out it actually was the owner's, it wasn't their father's, they would pay the demei basar bezol, meaning they would pay the value of the animal in the least or the most cheapest value, which I think the Achronim explained, it's 2/3 of the market value of the animal. And then I think Rashi over here tells us that the hide of the animal, obviously you would return back to the owner. You wouldn't hold on to the hide. So that's if you thought it was the father's. If let's say the father left for them real property, like actual physical property, like karkaot, then they are actually liable to pay its full amount. Okay, so now we have to dissect this whole sugya that we just brought and understand what's happening. Some teach this on the initial part that we just said. Some teach it on the latter part. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, that which we said, that the father left for them real property, they're required to pay. And what did we say? They are responsible for any mishaps. So, ishtavu nechasim da'avuhon mechayim mishat she'ela. Because at the time, from lifetime already, the father became responsible for it. So they have responsibility. So if anything happens, they would have to pay. That is the reisha. So some teach this on the reisha. And then ikadamani la'aseifa, we're going to see what that is. Right? There's a Rashi. Ikadamani la'aseifa. Hechad tivachua. If they slaughtered the animal, im hiniach len avien achrayu nechasim. If the father left for them real property, mishalmin tashlumei ma'alia, they would pay the full property, the full amount, velo bezol, and not the 2/3 market value. The ibaylu the medak. Why? Because they, since it is it's their own full real property and it's given to them, they are required to be investigating and be able to make sure that it is not an animal that belongs to someone else. So let's explain. We'll go back to the Gemara. The one who teaches this on the Reisha, right, which we explained is referring to the father left for them animal, his father left for them achrayu nechasim, real property that they have to pay, that we said they are liable in responsibility of any mishaps. So, kol sheken aseifa, how much more so on the latter part of the Baraita, that we said that they, if they slaughtered it and they ate the animal, how much more so? Upliga de Rav Papa, and this opinion is disagreeing with the opinion of Rav Papa that we just brought. The Rav Papa said, that the moment that something happens, that the mishap happens, that's when you become responsible. He's saying, no, the moment that it was lended to you, that's when you become responsible. So this is disagreeing with the opinion of Rav Papa. Uman de matni la seifan, the one who teaches this on the latter part of the Braita, aval aresha lo, but on the initial part of the Braita, we would not say the same case, right? Rashi says, imeta, if the animal died, lo michayve l'shalume, we don't have to pay. And we don't say that they became liable because of the property of their father from the time of borrowing. So who do they hold like? V'hainu de Rav Papa, and they hold like the opinion of Rav Papa, that what do we say? That really, they become responsible for paying back for the animal at the moment that the fatality happens, at the moment that the mishap happens, which is when it died. And so therefore, they would not be responsible. Okay, these are two different opinions. Bishlama Rabbi Yochanan lo amar k'Rish Lakish. Now we go back. If you remember, we brought three different opinions. We brought Ula, we brought Rabbi Yochanan, and we brought Rish Lakish, who gave three different explanations. So it makes sense Rabbi Yochanan does not say like Rish Lakish. Why? What was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? He established our Mishnah talking about a case where they did not warn. Since there is no warning in our Mishnah, that's why the women, that's why they have to pay a fine. Right? That's why the men have to pay a fine. Right? So it makes sense Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say like Rish Lakish. Why? They come mokim la kerabanan. Instead of lashes. Right? He holds like the opinion of the Rabbanan. We had a machloka between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Meir says, Lokeh u'mishalem, you get lashes and you have to pay. Rabbanan says, no, you only get one. You can't get lokeh and mishalem. So since there's no warning, you don't get lashes, you go to the next, which would be the fine. So that's why it makes sense Rabbi Yochanan, he holds like Rabbanan. And they're the Rabbim. Ela Rish Lakish, but according to Rish Lakish, my ta'ama lo amar k'Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't Rish Lakish establish our Mishnah like Rabbi Meir? Why didn't he say like Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara says, Amar lach, he would tell you, kevan de ilu atrube patur, since if they had warned, they would have been warned, they would be exempt from the fine, from the payment. Ki lo atrube nami patur. So therefore, even though they were not warned, they're also still exempt. Because it's on the basis of since, like migo, since they would have been exempt if they were warned, so they are exempt from the payment, even if they are not warned. Vazdu l'taymayu, and they go both according to their opinions. Dechi'ata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar, he said, Chayave mitot shogegin, Chayave malkuyot shogegin. The liability, if a person did something that would be liable to death, he did it by accident, but had he done it on purpose, he would be liable to death. Or liability to Malkut, if he did it on purpose, he would be liable to Malkut. V'davar acher, and monetary law. If let's say there's both a violation, so if someone violates something, that would be liability to death and monetary payment. Or liability to Malkut and monetary payment. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Rabbi Yochanan says you'd be liable to the payment. V'Rish Lakish Amar Patur, and Rish Lakish says, no, you'd be exempt to that payment. They explain their reasoning. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Rabbi Yochanan says, you'd be liable, Dehal Lo Atrubei, because they did not get warned. You didn't get warned, so you don't give them lashes, you don't give the death penalty, you just have to pay the payment. Rish Lakish Amar Patur, Rish Lakish says, no, you're exempt from the payment. Kevan De'ilu Atrubei, since had they warned, they would have been exempt, patur. Ki lo atrubei, so even when they are not warned, nami, patur, they are still exempt. So this is their difference between opinions between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Etivei, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish has a contradiction on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Velo ye ason, if there is no fatality, the Pasuk says, anoshi anesh, then you give punishment, and he has to pay the value of the fetus, if he, let's say, hit the woman with the baby inside her and killed the baby. So the Gemara explains, flipping the Amud, my love, ason mamash, is it's not referring to an actual fatality in the literal sense, meaning Rashi explains the first Rashi. Im lo meta isha, if the woman did not die, ye'anesh ha'anogef bidmei veladot, the man who killed the fetus should have to pay the value of the fetus. So what can you infer from that? Ha'im meta, so if the woman did die, lo ye'anesh, he should not be punished. Va'afilu lo hitrubo, and even had they not warned him, he should not be punished to have to pay the fine. Bikashya Rabbi Yochanan, this is a difficulty on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. If really the woman did die, you can infer that he would not have to pay, even without warning. And so therefore, how does Rabbi Yochanan explain this? The Gemara says, lo, dinason. No, the judgment of a fatality, not a literal fatality. And Rashi explains, hachika amar, this is what was meant. Hachika amar kra. Im ein mishpat mavet lenogef, if there is no death penalty for the murderer, for the guy who killed, kegon shelo meta, let's say the woman didn't die, lo meta isha, o meta, or even if she did die, velo yitrubo, but they didn't warn, still, Rabbi Yochanan would explain, anosh yanesh, he would have to pay the fine. So Rabbi Yochanan explains in a case where there was no warning, or she did not get killed, that's when you'd have to pay the fine. It's not a contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan. Ikat Amri, some say actually the other way around. Etivei Rabbi Yochanan, the Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan used that same thing to cause a contradiction on Rish Lakish. V'lo ye'ason is not as if there was no fatality, anosh ya'anesh, would have to pay. So my love, din ason, is now referring to the judgment of a fatality, meaning if the woman did not die or she wasn't, there was no warning, then you would have to pay. The Gemara says, lo ason mamash, no, it's not a contradiction on Rish Lakish. He says it's referring to an actual fatality, literally, and so therefore he explains that when there's no warning, you would not have to pay. Difference of opinions. Amar Rava, Rava says, Umi ika lemanda amar chayavei mitot shogegin chayavim. Is there an opinion who says that someone who did something liable to death accidentally, that he would be liable to having to pay, having to make the payment, if let's say there was a monetary law included? V'ha tane devei chizkiya, we taught b'midrash al chizkiya. It says a beautiful idea. It says in the pasuk, makeh adam umakeh be'ema, right? It says, how does it say, umakeh be'ema yishalmenna, umakeh adam yumat, that person who kills the animal should pay, umakeh adam, someone who kills the person should be put to death. So the Gemara says, ma makeh be'ema, just like the hitting of an animal, lo chileket bo, there's no difference between bein shogeg, bein mezid, whether it's accidental or on purpose, bein mitkaven, le'she'in mitkaven, with intention or without, bein derech yerida le'derech aliyah, downwards or upwards position, doesn't matter, le'potro mamon, to exempt monetary law, ela le'chaivo mamon. Rather, all of these cases are coming to make a person liable to make the payment. In any way that the person kills the animal, he would have to pay for what he killed. Right? Whereas, so too, af makeh adam, so to someone who hits a person and kills a person, lo tachlok, no difference between bo, bin beshogeg, bin mezid, whether accidental or on purpose, bin mitkaven, l'shein mitkaven, intention or without intention, bin derech yerida, l'derech aliyah, downwards or upwards position, l'chayvo mamon, to obligate money, ela l'potro mamon, rather to exempt monetary law. Meaning, he's making a hekesh in the pasuk, that just like the laws are with regards to someone who kills an animal that would have to pay, so too are the laws are of someone who kills a person who would not have to pay because he would be put to death. Right? So the hekesh is, a person who kills an animal would have to pay, a person who kills a person would be put to death, would not have to pay. All the laws, the way they're done, are exactly the same. So what is he trying to prove? He's saying over here, what do we see in the Beraita? That whether it was done by accident, or it was done on purpose, does not make a difference, there'd be no having to pay. So how can you say that if someone did something that was liable to death by accident, that they still would have to pay? We're saying that no, they would not have to pay when they kill someone. So the Gemara says, Ela ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, everyone actually agrees when someone violates a law that would be put to death, but he did it by accident, that really everyone agrees they're exempt from having to make the payment, if there was a violation of payment. When are we saying there's a machloket? If someone did something that would be liable to lashes, shogegin, by accident, and there is a liability to monetary law, monetary payment. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Chayav. Rabbi Yochanan says he is liable. Why? Chayave mitot itkush. Chayave malkiyot lo itkush. That when do we make a connection, the hekesh, between the pasuk of the animal and the person? That's only by liability of death. Because the pasuk is talking about killing a person. So when the animal is killed, you pay. When the man is killed, you don't pay. That's when there's a connection. So by the case of death, Rabbi Yochanan says that you would be exempt. But by the case of malkut, if a person violated something that would be liable to malkut with monetary law, Rabbi Yochanan says you're still liable to pay. Rish Lakish amar patur. Rish Lakish says, no, you're exempt. Beferush ribta Torah chayevei malkuyot kechayevei mitot. The Torah explicitly connects and adds the case of liability to lashes, same way it does for the liability to death, meaning they are one and the same with that regard. So the Gemara says, hechan ribta Torah. Where does the Torah include liability to lashes in the same category as liability to death? So now we're going to try to bring out a few different answers. Amar Abaye. Abaye gives one answer. Atya Rasha Rasha, we have a Gezerah Shava. He says we have a Gezerah Shava from Moshe Rabbeinu. One pasuk is talking about that a person who murdered someone. It says in the pasuk Rasha, and the next pasuk it says Vayayim Bin Hakot HaRasha, that someone who hits, you kill the Rasha. Talking about the Edim Zomimin, so that's talking about Malkut. So both of them says the words Rasha, so it means they have to do with one another, and so therefore that also the liability of lashes would be included in this category. That if a person did something liable to lashes with monetary law, he would not have to pay the monetary law. Rava gives a different answer. Atya makeh makeh. He says, I have a juxtaposition, not a gezerah shava. It's different. He says, it's a juxtaposition between two times of hitting. So when do we see this? Amar le Rav Papa, le Rava. He says, hey makah, which makah are you referring to? Where do you see this in the pasuk? So ilema, maybe we can say, umakeh behema yishalmena. Someone who kills an animal, hits an animal, should pay. Umakeh adam yumat, person who kills the person, should be put to death. So what do you see over there? One's talking about hitting the animal, one's talking about hitting the person. But the Gemara says, "Hai bekatlaktiv." That's referring to murder. That's not referring to lashes. We're trying to find the case, this is what our goal is, to find a case where we have a case of lashes and connect it to the case of murder, that we would say they're the same in the sense that a person who violated either of those by accident with also the monetary law aspect would not be obligated to pay the fine. That's what we're trying to prove according to Rish Lakish. So where do we see that? We still do not see that. So the Gemara rather tries to bring another pasuk. Ela hay makeh nefesh behema yishalmena nefesh tachat nafesh. Right, the pasuk says, if you look at the pasuk here, umakeh nefesh behema yishalmena. Someone who hits an animal, kills an animal, should pay nefesh tachat nafesh. That he's paying the value of the nefesh. Right, and then right after that it says v'samichle. The next pasuk says, someone who damages a person, he's chovel b'chaviro. Kaasher asa ken yaselo, just like he did, that's the way they should do to him. So he's saying in that pasuk, what does it say over there? It talks about hitting the animal. It talks about hitting the animal, and then right afterward, it talks about hitting a friend. It sounds like it's talking about lashes over there. Okay, so the Gemara says v'hai lav makehu he, but in the pasuk it doesn't say the word makeh. If you look at the pasuk about damaging a friend, it says ki iten mum ba'amito. He puts a blemish in his friend. It doesn't say the word makeh. So how are you learning this gezerah shava? So seemingly it's not a gezerah shava. It must be a juxtaposition. And the Gemara explained, anan haka'ah haka'ah kamrina. We're not saying a gezerah shava, that you need the same word. We're saying both topics are talking about hitting. And so therefore we're learning them similarizing. Right? So the Gemara says, v'ha kiktiv bechovel b'chavero dichtiv. But when it says the aspect of hitting, it's talking about damaging a friend. V'chovel v'chavero, and we know that damaging a friend, bar tashluminu, he's not liable to malkut. Someone who damages a friend, what is he liable to? Having to pay. He has to pay. Someone who damages a friend has to pay for the damage he caused. So what do we see? This is not even talking about Malkut. So how are you learning from here the aspect of lashes? He says, "Im eino inyan lahakashi yesh bashave bruta." So if we have no lesson over here, this pasuk is not coming to teach us anything for a damage that is valued over a pruta, right? We don't need it to teach us that, right? Why? Because Rashi says, "Uletashlumin deha mikra dechavre." The next pasuk in the Torah says, So what did we explain? We explained earlier in the Gemara, that's talking about monetary law. So we don't need this pasuk to talk about monetary law. We're going to use this pasuk for something else. What is this pasuk referring to? If we don't need this pasuk to teach us tashlumin, monetary law, above a pruta value, let's use this pasuk to teach us a case of damage that was caused, but it was such a minute amount of damage that it was less than a pruta. Pruta is like a few cents. It was such a minute amount of damage that it would not even be a pruta. And so therefore, there would be lashes and not payment. And so that's where the case would be that we'd learn out the case of lashes. So the Gemara flipping the Amud says, sof sof, lav bar tasluminu. But in that case, the guy is not even a fit person for payment. We're trying to find a case where he is fit for payment and for Malkut, and we would say he's exempt from payment. That's not the case over here, because if you're hitting someone and you're hitting them and you're damaging them only less than a pruta, then there's no bar tashlumin. He's not even liable to payment whatsoever. So there's no case over here that he may come to pay. No, he's not exempt from payment. He's not a person who would pay because it's less than a pruta of damage. So lo tzricha, so we don't need the hekes. Rather, what are we saying? At the moment that he hit his friend, what did he do? He ripped silks as well. So meaning, even though he damaged his friend, Rashi explains this, Rashi says, kelomar, mishum chavala. There's lashes because of damaging, and he is exempt from the payment of the ripping of the silks, because it would happen simultaneously. It doesn't matter if there was a warning or not. That he would not receive the lashes, patur mitashlumin, he would be exempt from, the payment mehekesha delo tachlok, from the hekesh, the connection that we brought earlier of the case of the animal and the person. That just like by the case of an animal, a person who kills an animal would be exempt from, would have to pay. So too, someone who kills a person would be exempt from payment. And we're saying that malkut is the exact same case. That if there was a liability of lashes and there's monetary payment, that just like in the case of lashes, if someone did it by accident, the person would be also exempt from something that would be liable to lashes, would be exempt from having to pay in that case. And this is the explanation where we see Rish Lakish's point. Even without a warning. Even without a warning. You'd be exempt from having to pay. Okay? Amar le Rav Chiya le Rava. Rav Chiya says to Rava, Uletana deve Chizkiya, according to the opinion of the Beit Midrash of Chizkiya, that we said, Amar make Adam, or make Be'ema, that we said it's saying, hitting a man, right? We said someone who hits the man and hits the animal. So hits the animal, you have to pay. Hits the man, you don't have to pay. Kills the man. So the Gemara says, "Mimayde bechol k'tiv." How do we know that's talking about during the week? Dilma veleika leiflugin. We don't have to make any, you know, contradiction. Dilma, perhaps it's talking about b'Shabbat k'tiv. It's talking about on Shabbat. Ude behema gufa ikalaflugin. We have to argue on the animal itself. Right, the animal that was killed on Shabbat, we have to discuss, do you have to pay or not? Because someone who kills an animal on Shabbat, he has a stricter punishment of murder. He killed an animal, he's liable to shechita, and therefore he's liable to death. So why would he have to pay? So maybe we can talk about Shabbat. Why are we talking about during the week? So Gemara says, "Lo tzakadatach." Don't think that's the case. Why? It says in the pasuk, "Umake behema yishalmina." Someone who kills the animal should pay. Umake adam yuman, or hits the animal should pay, and hits the person, he should be put to death. He kills the person, he should be put to death. So the Gemara says, "Hechidame." What's the case over here? What are we referring to? Idelo atrube. If there's no warning, so make adam amay yuman. If someone hits a person, why would he ever be put to death if there's no warning? There has to be a warning to be put to death, right? Ela, what is it talking about? Pshita datrube. It must be that he was warned. And if it was referring to on Shabbat, would a person who hit an animal, kill an animal, just have to pay if it was Shabbat? Obviously not. We know that someone who hits an animal, kills an animal on Shabbat, he violated a commandment on Shabbat, he'd be put to death. So clearly that would not be the case of the Pasuk. Ela lav bechol. It must be talking about that we're talking about during the week and not about Shabbat. Amar le Rav Papa labayi. Rav Papa says labayi. Le Rabba, according to Rabba, and we're going to finish off with this. According to Rabbah, the Amar, that he says, Chidush, hu shenit chiddesha Torah, the Torah made a chidush by the cases of stealing of the animal and then slaughtering it on Shabbat, or Avodah Zarah, or Shor and Iskal, all of those cases. Biknas, by the case of a fine, ve'af agav de miktil, even though the person is liable to death, mishalem, you would have to pay. So he says, matnitin keman mokimla. How does Rabbah establish our Mishnah? Who does Rabbah establish our Mishnah like? So he says, ikar Rabbi Meir, if it's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, kashya bito, we have a country, we have a difficulty with the case of one's daughter, right? Because we know later on the Mishnah is going to bring, we're going to see that, by the case of one's daughter, we say, the matnitin, the Mishnah over there says that someone would be exempt from having to pay the fine, but if it was his own daughter. But according to Rabbi Meir, a person would be liable to pay the fine even if it was his own daughter. So how would he explain that in our Mishnah? In the Mishnah?
If he
violated her. Right? If it was referring to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, kashya achoto, he has a difficulty. What did he say? He has the case of, like Rabbi Meir, loke umishalem, the liability to lashes and payment. It would be difficult the case of one sister. Right? Because even though we say that about one sister, that lashes would not exempt him, right? If according to Rabbi Nechunya, lashes would not exempt the woman from, would not exempt the man from having to pay for one sister. Whereas, but it should be exempt from karet, right? One sister, one sleeps with a sister. There's a, you know, aspect of karet over there. So the karet aspect should exempt the fine. So how would he explain the case of one sister? Because he said he would be liable to pay the fine. So that doesn't make sense either. And Ikar Rabbi Yitzchak, and if we hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, who's in Masechet Makot on Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph over there, he says that what? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says he does not hold any of these Elu and Alokin, that these people would be liable to lashes, and that's why he says all of these people are actually liable to pay the fine, to pay the fine for these women. But what's his difficulty? Kashya Mamzeret. He has a difficulty of a woman who is a Mamzeret. That everyone agrees, Rashi says, that the man who sleeps with the violates the mamzeret receives malkut, receives lashes. And what did Rabbi Yitzchak say? He has to pay a fine, not lashes. So how would he explain the case of mamzeret? Rather, none of these opinions can work with Rabbah. So the Gemara says, Hanicha I savar lak Rabbi Yochanan. It makes sense if Rabbah holds like Rabbi Yochanan. That what did we say? We saw from Rabbi Yochanan that case of, you did not warn, you would not be liable to lashes, but you still have to pay the fine where you violated one of these women, right? You still have to pay the fine according to Rabbi Yochanan. Hum nami mitaretz lak. Rabbi Yochanan, he can explain our Mishnah, saying like Rabbi Yochanan, that what's the Mishnah talking about? When the man was not warned, there's no malkut, rather he has to pay the fine. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Ela isavar k'Rish Lakish, and we're finished with this. He said, if he holds like Rish Lakish, hechi mitaretz lak. The Rish Lakish said that when there's no warning, then the person is exempt from the fine as well. So how can you explain our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says there's a fine. How can you explain our Mishnah? And it does not make sense according to Rish Lakish. So al korchach, it must be against our will. We have to say Rabbi Yochanan Sirilei, that he must hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that says that when there's no warning, there would still be a fine, and that's how you can explain our Mishnah. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen ve'amen.